Hello and welcome everybody to our monthly spiritual reflection call. Today we are going to hear from Father Luke Millette from the Houston region. First of all, I'd like to ask for everybody's prayers to be joined with theirs, that there is some sort of relief coming for those who are suffering so severely from the weather-related problems that certainly that the Houston area is suffering, as well as we know that the weather is affecting so many people throughout the country, victims of tornadoes in other parts, and severe power outages. So please keep everybody, especially those in the Houston area, who are still suffering severely from the weather-related problems. Father Luke comes with a background in mechanical engineering, then joined the response to the priesthood, where after he was ordained, he was trained in canon law and today serves as the judicial vicar who oversees the diocesan tribunal in the Galveston-Houston Archdiocese. He also is a professor at St. Mary's Seminary and is a member of the Board of Governors of the Canon Law Society of America. Most importantly to us, he has been a magistral chaplain for 5 years for the Houston region, and many of our members should know Father Luke from either the Lourdes Pilgrimage or else that at Our Lady of Good Help. So good morning, Father Luke, and the floor is yours.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, and especially thank you for all the prayers for all those throughout Texas and throughout the U.S. who are affected by the weather. Due to the ongoing pandemic, this Ash Wednesday might seem a little different to most, if not all, American Catholics. And the reason I say this is that in response to the ongoing pandemic, the Congregation for Divine Worship has decreed that instead of the customary black cross of ashes that we're used to on our foreheads for Ash Wednesday, American Catholics, and truly indeed all Catholics throughout the world, will instead have the crown of our heads sprinkled with ashes, along with those customary words, "Remember that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return." Now, this might seem like a strange new invention to many of us, especially American Catholics, when this is actually far from the truth. As I say this, I can't help but think of actually my first Ash Wednesday as a priest, when I helped distribute ashes at St. Peter's Basilica. As I was distributing the ashes, I started realizing, as I was giving everyone around me crosses on their forehead, that everyone started looking at me quite strange and confused. So I started scanning the crowd, looking around, seeing what was going on, looking at the priest to try to figure out what I was doing wrong. I quickly realized that the only penitents in all of St. Peter's walking with crosses on their foreheads were the ones in front of me. All the other priests present in the basilica were simply sprinkling ashes across the tops of the heads of those present. I mention this because in the same way as those Catholics who were staring at me in confusion as I gave them ashes in a way different than what they were used to, many American Catholics today might also be staring at their priests in confusion as he gives them ashes in a way that they are not used to as well. And this shouldn't be taken to mean that one way is right or wrong or one way is better than the other. Rather, there are simply different ways to distribute the ashes, different symbols that evoke different meanings. Those Catholics in St. Peter's Basilica walked away confused when I gave them ashes because that symbol had no meaning for them. And likewise, we too might find ourselves confused today by the simple sprinkling of ashes across our heads because that symbol of faith to which we are accustomed to has been changed. Luckily, what we can take away from this experience is the fact that both these ways of applying ashes are rich in symbolism. As American Catholics, we must allow this perhaps jarring experience to enter us into Lent in a new and powerful way this season, as we experience and create new symbols of faith together. As I personally try to ponder this unfamiliar gesture and what it means to me, I couldn't help but be reminded of the countless times I've sprinkled dust across the top of someone's coffin as their body is being laid to rest in the earth. In this way, the haunting words of today's liturgy can take on an even more profound meaning for us. Remember that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. This reveals one of the ways in which this simple sprinkling of ashes can become for us a rich symbol as we enter into this season of Lent, a reminder of that day when we too shall one day be returned to the earth from which we came. For this reason, the words from the prophet Joel in today's first reading should be especially meaningful to us. Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments, and return to the Lord your God. For gracious and merciful is he, slow to anger, rich in kindness, and relenting in punishment. For on a day and a time we do not know, our Lord will come for us as well, and woe for us if he does not find us ready. The prophet Joel makes it clear that the first step in this journey of preparing for our eventual death is returning to the Lord with our whole heart. As Catholics, we are accustomed to using the season of Lent as a time of fasting and preparation, and this is a good thing. But all this can be worthless if we don't first and foremost take a moment to simply pause, to pause and reflect on our sinfulness, so we might repent from our sins and return to the Lord with all of our hearts. Those who are familiar with the total consecration of Mary to Mary, according to St. Louis de Montfort, note this second week consists of reflecting on one's own sinfulness and needs for God's grace. To assist us in this, St. Louis says that we can, if we choose, meditate on our own inward corruption. We can look upon ourselves during these days as snails, crawling things, serpents, and unclean animals. Or we can reflect on the three considerations of St. Bernard: the vileness of our origins, the dishonors of our present state, and our ending as food for worms. I must admit that these harsh words of St. Louis and St. Bernard sound a little over the top and sound very hard to put into practice. For while I want to think of myself as a good person, I sometimes already struggle to recognize God's great love for me. And so it's difficult to confront my own sinfulness in such a frank and stark manner. And yet the point of this is not to wallow in self-pity, or to convince ourselves that we are beyond redemption. In fact, what St. Louis and St. Bernard are trying to get us to do is quite the opposite. The point is to realize that we are sinners in need of a Savior, so we might repent of our sinfulness and return to the Lord with all of our hearts. In this, the spiritual practices of Lent are revealed for what they truly should be. The practices of Lent are not meant to be ways to punish ourselves for our sinfulness, nor are they meant to be ways to earn God's grace. For as we know, salvation is not something which can be earned by our own merits, but is instead something offered to us, which we must accept. And the spiritual practices of Lent are a way to turn away from our sinfulness, to turn away from our attachments to the things of this world, so we might in turn embrace the things of God, embrace that great gift of salvation which we have all been offered. Think back again to those traditional practices of Lent: prayer, fasting, almsgiving. All three of these things are meant to turn us away from ourselves towards God. Prayer turns us away from our self-focus by opening our hearts in a deepening relationship with God as we entrust our fears and our needs, our hopes and our dreams, even our very selves, into God's provident and loving hands. Fasting, in turn, turns us away from our self-focus as we carve those things out of our lives that we don't really need, so we might make more space for God within our lives. And as we do this, we become freer from the things of this world. We become less hesitant to share the gifts that God has given us with others. In this sense, in a very real way, prayer and fasting lead us directly into almsgiving, as we stop focusing on ourselves and our own needs, to turn around and share what we have with those around us who are less fortunate than ourselves. As Jesus tells us in today's gospel, take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your Heavenly Father. Jesus goes on to counsel us to pray in secret, instead of praying in a way focused on gaining the praise of others. He tells us we are fast, that no one knows that we are fasting, but our Father who sees us in secret. And that when we give alms, we are to do it in secret, so our Father may repay us in secret. To put it perhaps more simply, these practices of prayer and fasting and almsgiving are not to be done so we might be glorified in this world, but so that our Father might glorify us in the world to come, as we slowly store up treasures for heaven. Everything we do throughout the entire season of Lent must be aimed at this end goal of making it into heaven when we die. As we know far too well, this is not an easy thing, but perhaps a trip of the saints might help us in this endeavor. I'm sure that most, if not all of us, are familiar with seeing depictions of the saints with a skull nearby. This is a reference to a penitential practice called memento mori, remember your death, in which reflection on a skull or some other object that reminds us of our coming death will, as St. Bernard Shkreli said, remind us that we will one day end as food for worms. And this day, we become reminded to prepare ourselves every single day for our own future deaths, so we too might become saints as well. And so, whether we are among those who will be able to visit churches today to have ashes sprinkled on our foreheads, or whether we will have to celebrate this Ash Wednesday in the silence of our own homes, we've all been invited to reflect in the silence of our own hearts on our own future deaths, on that simple fact that we are dust, and unto dust we shall return. So we might use this season of Lent to prepare our hearts for our true home in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you very much, Father Luke. And now I will conclude with our daily prayer. Lord Jesus, thou hast seen fit to enlist me for thy service in the order of St. John of Jerusalem. I humbly entreat thee through the intercession of the Most Holy Virgin of Palermo, of St. John the Baptist, Blessed Gerard, and all the saints, to keep me faithful to the traditions of our order. Be it mine to practice and defend the Catholic, the Apostolic, the Roman faith against sacrilege. Be it mine to practice charity towards my neighbors, especially the poor and sick. Give me the strength I need to carry out this my resolve, forgetful of myself, learning ever from thy holy gospel, a spirit of deep and generous Christian devotion, striving ever to promote God's glory, the world's peace, and all that may benefit the Order of St. John of Jerusalem. Amen. Thank you, everyone.